Hey, you guys, welcome back to Tomes of Terror. And look, it's the new studio. It's all set up. Isn't it beautiful? I really, really love it. The lighting is kind of wonky at the moment. I'll kind of fart around with it and see what I can do. I will say that I did actually record one more video that is a Flickers of Fear. I think it was Midnight Meat Train. And I still recorded that like in the old blank ass studio. So that one is going to be going up after this one. So don't be like confused because I was trying to record as much as I could like ahead of time and things got out of order. And, you know, it was this big kind of clusterfuck as things usually are. But yeah, so we're going to do a book review today in the new studio and hopefully everything works out and everything is all set up. So the book that we are talking about today, listen to this. I must be hitting the big time, you guys, because I was approached by, I believe it's Turner Publishing, who published this book, and they asked if I would like an ARC, Advanced Reader's Copy, of this particular book to read, and I was like, hey, free books, I'm all about that shit. So they went ahead and sent it to me, and this book is called The Son of Abraham, by Kathleen Kaufman. So this was sent to me, and it actually, I believe it's released on October 26th. I've seen October 26th. I've also seen December 2021, but this is a, you know, this is an ARC, like an advanced reader copy. So this is not the one that you'll be buying at the store. It will not have that little thing on it. I received this book and, you know, decided I was going to read it and review it. Now, this is very interesting because prior to reading this book, I was not aware that this was the third book in a trilogy. The trilogy, I believe, is called Diabhal, I think. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. D-I-A-B-H-A-L, I think, like that. So there were two books in this prior to this, and this is the third and final one, I would assume. That said, I didn't know that, and I didn't really have that much of a hard time following this. I think, like, after I finished it, I was kind of like, they're like, oh, it's the third one in a trilogy, and I was like, oh, well, probably would have helped to, like, read the other two beforehand, but I don't really think you need to. There are, like, some references, I'm assuming, to stuff that happened in the first two, but I found this a pretty fairly straightforward standalone type of story, so hopefully you will find it that way as well. Although, like I said, I would recommend reading the first two, and I probably will go back and read them as well, because I actually did like this quite a bit. So basically, this is kind of like a post-apocalyptic end-of-the-world type deal. So if you like that kind of stuff, then you'll probably be really into this. So basically, at the first part of the book, and I think the first part for me, like the first little section, was probably the least, I don't know, because it took me a little bit to get into this book, because what it does at the beginning is that essentially there is a massive like domestic terrorist attack in Los Angeles. And there's apparently this cult called the Sons of Abraham. And it's led by this dude named Alan Robertson. And he's known as the Son of Abraham. And so he's like the head of this cult. And they're apparently trying to bring about the end of the world in some sort of fashion. So there's an attack in Los Angeles, you know, and this is like 10 years before most of the book. So at the beginning, it kind of like jumps back and forth between, it's kind of like little vignettes of like all these random people. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if they're actually random or if they were people that were referred to like earlier on in the trilogy, because like I said, I wasn't sure. I didn't know that this was the third book in a trilogy before I read this one. So, you know, so it might just be that these were characters that, you know, were mentioned in the prior books and I just didn't know who they were. Cause to me, it just seemed like, oh, we're starting and there's all these like random people around Los Angeles. And they're, the first thing that happens is like they're saying, oh, well, basically Los Angeles is going to be leveled in like 15 minutes. So everyone's like, there's this, all this chaos, like everyone's trying to get out, like everyone's trying to, you know, maybe we can get in a plane and get far enough away, like from the blast radius. Because apparently what's happened is that members of this cult have planted these massive bombs like underneath like various points in the city that's basically just going to level it and everything like within 100 miles. So, and there's no time to get everybody out like by the time they discovered it. So the first part of the book is basically going back and forth to people in Los Angeles trying to get the fuck out of there and essentially failing. I don't think that's like a spoiler alert because there's really no way that they could get out. So after that, it jumps ahead 10 years. And what basically has happened in the interim After this terrorist attack, which killed like hundreds of thousands of people or like tens of thousands of people in Los Angeles and basically like flattened most of the city. And so what has happened in the meantime is that Alan Robertson, the head of the cult, has been caught and is in federal prison and is sitting there awaiting trial. So there's that whole thing going on. There's also his daughter, Esther, who I think is in her 20s. And she basically grew up in this cult, but really didn't seem to know like what her dad was capable of or what he was thinking about or anything like that. So it's been 10 years. He essentially killed everyone, like his wife, his other daughter, his, you know, everybody else in Los Angeles, essentially. But he warned Esther for some reason and told her, hey, get the hell out of Dodge because something bad's going to happen. But he didn't tell her what it was. And so she left. So in the past 10 years, because so many people were killed in this terrorist attack 10 years ago, Esther has kind of been, she kind of went into a group home because she was still a teenager at the time. She was like 15 or something. And then she's basically had to kind of like change her identity because people found out, like later, like the news media and stuff like that found out that, you know, Alan Robertson, the head of this cult, he had a daughter and he warned her ahead of time and she was the only person that he warned. So everyone was kind of suspecting maybe she knew something, maybe she knew something was going to go on. And so they're all trying. So she was getting like all these death threats, like she was responsible for like what her dad did, even though she was just a teenager and all this other kind of stuff. So essentially, this is 10 years later and we have a newscaster named Cooper Carlson, which I think is like really funny. It's like, because it's kind of like Anderson Cooper and Tucker Carlson together. I don't really know. So he's like this kind of like hard hitting news guy. And he sort of was just kind of like a local guy until the terrorist attack from Los Angeles 10 years ago, which kind of made him like a national sensation because he was the one that covered it. He was the first one on the scene and all this other stuff. So now he's like a national celebrity essentially. And he's kind of like the guy that you go to like when you want to cover like this big, massive, horrible disaster. So he essentially also tracked down Esther Robertson, the daughter of the cult leader. And so he was able to find her and score an interview with her. So very near to the beginning of the book. Like I said, the first part of the book is kind of like 10 years ago and just kind of goes back and forth to random people like getting fucked up in the terrorist attack. And then it jumps forward to Cooper Carlson interviewing Esther like on the news, which is good because it gives you kind of like a little bit of a backstory. Like maybe if you, you know, it kind of gives you an into the story over the course of the story. Like I said, this hasn't even come out yet. This book, it's, you know, it doesn't come out till October 26th, I believe. So I don't want to spoil too much about it. But what the bulk of the book is, it's basically going back. There's a bunch of other characters like, you know, auxiliary characters, ancillary characters, whatever. But it's basically focused on Esther and Cooper Carlson, the news guy, and also Alan Robertson and what and him being in prison and him being maybe a little bit more than a cult leader and maybe being able to pull off some shit that they're not really entirely sure, like how he's able to pull it off. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of all I'm going to say about that. But so the rest of the book is Esther trying to figure out where his next attack is, because there's, you know, on the 10-year anniversary, there's like another attack, which maybe could be construed as a terrorist attack, but it maybe also could be like a natural disaster. They're not really sure. And Alan, the son of Abraham, like has all these followers who do things for him and various other things. So it's Esther basically trying to, she's kind of, her and Cooper are kind of at odds at the beginning because he seems to think that maybe she knew something about what her dad was up to and maybe she's like clued in to what he's doing and like maybe she's not telling the absolute truth about everything. So they're kind of like at loggerheads at the beginning, but as the story goes on and like shit gets worse and worse and disasters start happening, they have to kind of like work together to figure out, you know, how are we going to, you know, stop the next attack? Where is the next attack going to be? What's his end game? What's his plan? We really have to find out how we're going to stop this. And so they kind of like start working together. And then there's kind of like I said, I don't want to spoil too much about it, but I will say that this is essentially like a cult, apocalyptic cult novel, but I will say that it's not, there is like a supernatural sort of element to it too. So like I said, let me know if you read like the first two in this trilogy, because honestly, it's like I think that maybe, like, I enjoyed this quite a bit. You know, apocalyptic fiction, it's not my super favorite, but I actually really liked that it wasn't just straightforward apocalyptic fiction. There was also, like, a mystical, supernatural type of element to the whole thing, too, because I like shit about cults. Like, I like that kind of stuff. But I think that I need to go back and read the first two in this, because even though this, I didn't have any problem following this, like, it stood alone, but there were some references back to some other things, like some things that happened when Esther was a kid, like before Alan kind of like went off the deep end and became this crazy cult leader person. And there's some stuff going on, like on the supernatural tip, with the kind of like the mythology behind everything. And I feel like maybe that was gone into a little bit more, like, I'm not sure, but I feel like maybe that was gone into a little bit more like in the last two books. So I think I would have gotten more out of that aspect of it if I had read those two, if I had known that this was like the third. But you know, I didn't know. I was just kind of like, I got the email and they were like, hey, you want this free book? And I was like, sure, okay. And so I read it and I was like, oh, that was pretty good. But then I realized, oh, well, it would probably help if I had read that. But as I said, it's not, you don't need to have read the first two books. But I think it would probably be a richer experience if you did, because I suspect that there's some references in here to like the society, which I guess was kind of like what the cult started like in the beginning. When Esther was a kid, there was an incident at a cul-de-sac. Like, it was a big fire where apparently like all these people died. So it was like this early disaster. And I feel like it's only mentioned a couple times in here. So that was probably gone into like a lot more like in the earlier books. And maybe, like I said, some of the mythology, because like I said, there is kind of like a supernatural. It almost seems like, I want to say it almost seems like a Celtic mythology kind of, but I'm not entirely sure about that, but that's kind of what it seemed like from the names and everything. But yeah, honestly, read the first two books first. But if you don't want to, I mean, this is a perfectly good book just as a standalone, particularly if you like stuff about like doomsday cults, if you like stuff about, like I said, sort of Celtic-y mythology a little bit, and also like big disaster shit, because that's pretty much a lot of this is just kind of like this crisp, like action-packed sort of just people getting fucked up, like thousands of people getting fucking killed in horrible, horrible ways, like bombings, earthquakes, like all kind of shit like that. So if you like real apocalyptic fiction, you know, just thousands of people dying in terrible ways, you know, end of the world shit, then you will probably really dig this. But yeah, like I said, I really appreciate Turner Publishing for sending this to me. It was actually really fun, a really fun, enjoyable read. Like I said, I kind of wish I had read the first two books in the series prior to that, but I will rectify that situation and maybe like give this one a reread too, like after that happens, so I can see like how it all kind of fits together. But like I said, this is perfectly good standalone too if you didn't read the first two. So, you know, so that will do it for this Tomes of Terror, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.